Thank you, Your Honor. Jeffrey Foster on behalf of the appellant Vernon Marshall James Young. I think the court has given us a very specific directive from its order submitting the other two cases on the briefing. And so I will go straight into what I believe is the issue that the court wants to address, and that is the chain of custody and the testimony of forensic DNA analyst Charity Davis. To be blunt...
Thank you.
To be blunt...
That is correct.
To be blunt, the government utterly failed to prove chain of custody in this case.
Is that an element of the offense?
No, it is not, Your Honor. But it is testimonial evidence that is necessary or that is brought against the accused and is subject to cross-examination. So the bigger issue is that Ms. Davis, after the government failed to prove that this evidence was what they say it was, she establishes chain of custody for them. She walks into court.
Counsel?
Yes.
Counsel, can I just interject to focus your argument a little more? You're jumping ahead. It is my understanding that what she provided testimony about was blood samples taken from two items, a hammer and a shirt. Isn't that correct?
She testified as to numerous pieces of evidence, Your Honor. First off, the buccal swabs of not only the victim...
Well, okay, but at least on those two items, on those two items, hammer and the shirt, those were part of her testimony, correct?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
Okay, and those items were in evidence, were they not?
Yes, Your Honor, they were.
Okay, and there was no objection made as to by the defense as to that those were crime scene items that were relevant to the prosecution, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so nobody tried to establish how they got, nobody challenged the government to establish how they got from the crime scene to the forensic lab for testing.
Oh, no, as a matter of fact, the defense counsel and Mr. Young challenged that essential fact, Your Honor. We said that, well, first off, I don't think there was any dispute that the items that were, that Officer Corcoran, who was the tribal investigator in this case, no doubt that he could come into court and talk about what evidence he picked up and bagged and tagged and could come into court and talk about the hammer and the knives and the pictures he took of those.
There was evidence to that effect, though, wasn't there?
Absolutely.
Right. How they were labeled and put in bags and marked. What we don't know is how they got from Montana. Once they got to the, wherever they went in Montana, what happened to them, and then how they got to Virginia.
Absolutely. There's a huge question mark there. We don't have any evidence. What we know is Officer Corcoran came in and testified, I bagged the evidence, or my team bagged the evidence, and Justin Noble picked up that evidence from the FBI, but I don't know what evidence he picked up. And then from there, all we have is Charity Davis. So there's no chain of custody established.
Mr. Foster, let me ask you a question, if I may. It's an issue in context in my mind. Let's assume that the DNA testimony and the hammer, that they were wrongfully admitted because of a chain of custody problem. Just assume that for a minute. Then what's the result? Is there sufficient evidence to support the conviction, like from the victim's testimony or otherwise, so that it doesn't matter? Or if there's a chain of custody problem, should we reverse the conviction?
Well, one of our arguments, one of our other arguments, is that, in fact, that the evidence is insufficient in this case. And so certainly I'll let that briefing speak for itself, but I'll address your issue. I think that what this does is it bolsters the government's case because essentially they get to go in there, they get to talk about, you know, all this blood evidence, you know, these items that were tested, the presumptive testing of blood that was found at the scene. And the only thing that we have on the record otherwise is the testimony of the victim. Now, maybe that was resolved in favor of the victim or the government in this case, but it certainly does help the government's case to bring in DNA evidence. And if there's not proper foundation for that evidence, and in this case, no opportunity to cross-examine the...
Did you object on the grounds of lack of foundation?
Yes, Your Honor, I did. Immediately when Ms. Davis, right after... I can direct you to the page.
Was that lack of foundation for her testimony or lack of some other foundation for whatever?
Well, I think I just stood up, Your Honor, and said lack of foundation, authenticity. And because we had addressed it prior to that with the court.
There was evidence about, there was testimony about this evidence from the officer you just...
Officer Corcoran, yes.
Right. And we know it gets to, we know that somehow or other it arrives in Virginia, correct?
Yes. Well, we don't.
So all you, no, but, well, we know she has, she's done the testing.
But that's an assumption, that's the logical leap we're asking everybody to make this case.
So at the trial, didn't they identify the shirt and the hammer?
Absolutely.
Right.
But... They
I don't understand. So really, what you're saying is that the in order for that evidence to be admitted, that there was those exhibits to be admitted, the government has to prove where they were or who had control of them from the moment they were seized at the scene until the time they arrive in the courtroom.
That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that. What we know from Melendez-Diaz is that the government, when they sit down and plan out their case, they have to look at it and say, okay, which part of this chain of custody is going to is testimonial in nature and needs
We had the right to confront and cross-examine everybody who testified.
Well, absolutely. But I,
what you're saying is they have to fill in the blank and they have to bring in those witnesses so we can cross-examine. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. The Sixth Amendment.
What case law? What Supreme Court case or Ninth Circuit case says that?
Well, actually, the case that this court has asked us to talk about today, Williams v. Illinois, in that case, I'll back up. It was addressed in Melendez-Diaz where they talk about the Sixth Amendment. And what it says is that you. There's two parts to that. One, the government has to bring in the witnesses against the accused, and the accused has the right, if they want to call witnesses. It's the prosecution's burden to prove this case. And if they're going
to... Well, you got a chance to cross-examine the examiner. She was there in court. She testified as to what she did, the process she followed, on items that are in evidence in court. So you got a chance to cross-examine her. So is she supposed to, she's not the one that's supposed to establish the chain of custody,
well,
right?
Yeah, exactly, Your Honor. She's not the one who establishes chain of custody, but that's exactly what she did in this case. She said...
How did she do that? She simply said that she tested items that were furnished to her, and she gave her results of her analysis. You didn't. There's no evidence of tampering, is there?
Well, she does say, Your Honor, on page 188, I do have chain of custody, yes. And that she, the government fails to show any chain of custody. She gets up and she says, we've established, or there's chain of custody here. But she doesn't know that chain
of
custody.
Did you cross-examine her on that? Did you cross-examine her as to what she meant by that?
Yes, well, she was heavily cross-examined, Your Honor. But, in fact, prior to this, the trial court admonished counsel to say that you have no evidence on the record, counsel, so you cannot cross-examine Ms. Davis on the basis that this evidence had been tampered with. And so the only remedy then would be is to have the ability to cross-examine Agent Noble, which we never had the opportunity to do. I'm out of time.
So is your objection to her testimony, or is your objection to the denial of getting somebody to fill in the gap? I thought you were challenging her testimony.
I'm challenging her testimony as it relates to the chain of custody, that she filled in the chain of custody in this case, and I believe that that is a testimonial out-of-court statement that should be subject to cross-examination, and we weren't given that ability to do.
All right. Okay, thanks. Your time's up. We'll give you a minute for rebuttal, extra time.
May it please the court. Dana Jackson from the United States. Before I address any confrontation clause or chain of custody issues, it's important to note that the only value the DNA testimony provided to the United States was to establish that the broken liquor bottle caused the victim's stabbing wounds, but that was never in dispute. The DNA evidence actually helped the defense in this case. In short, the court need not go there or delve into the Williams analysis or even into the chain of custody analysis because the issue is harmless. In regard to confrontation clause issues, Williams v. Illinois is not even implicated. The question here is whether the United States met its burden establishing the chain of custody. And we did. Williams did not change Ninth Circuit law in regard to chain of custody. I can agree with the defense counsel that the Melendez case is the one that we look to in establishing these rules. I also did note, and I did not put in my briefs, that United States versus Solero, which is 669 F3rd 943rd in the Ninth Circuit, These cases do not suggest that we have to call every witness who touched the specimen. It is up to us, the United States, to decide how many links in the chain are crucial to obtaining a conviction.
What's the purpose of the chain of custody rule?
The purpose of the chain of custody is to establish that you have relevant and appropriate evidence that they can cross-examine. In this instance, Your Honor, we put the officer who begged the evidence and the person in the FBI lab. And she had live testimony. It was live testimony. True, we did not put the FBI agent who simply passed along the evidence, nor did we put on the clerk who received it at the FBI lab, nor did we put on the person who moved it to Trace, who moved it around within the FBI lab. We don't need to do that. The government need not call everyone in the chain of custody who might have had a ministerial task in pushing evidence along.
So in closing argument, did defense counsel argue that, well, we don't know what happened to this evidence when it...
No, Your Honor.
...the scene?
No, Your Honor. And in fact, the defense argued that the DNA evidence was helpful to its case. In regards to defense's claim that we somehow violated the Confrontation Clause, quite honestly, yes, sir.
How did the defense say that was helpful to their case? Or why was it helpful to their case?
Your Honor, in this instance, there was no DNA evidence that pointed out that either one of the defendants were at the scene. The only blood specimen that was implicated here was the victim's blood was on the broken bottle, which where the majority of the injury was caused from, was the stabbing of the victim with the broken bottle. There was his blood was on that particular item of evidence. The blood on the boots, the blood on the shirt, there was no conclusive evidence showing that the victim's blood was on any of Vernon Jordan or the other defendant's items.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I have struggled with the defense's claim that we somehow violated the Confrontation Clause. It's difficult for the United States to understand the aspect of the FBI's agent's writings would be considered testimonial in this instance. Is the argument somehow that the agent's initials on the bag of evidence is testimonial? The United States offered no testimonial evidence that might implicate the Sixth Amendment. Finally, Your Honors, the defendant infers that the evidence itself was affected somehow or tampered in transit and that we needed to call the agent to disprove this. There's no support for this defense. It wasn't in the closing argument. And as you pointed out, Judge Fisher, there was ample opportunity for him to specifically approach Charity Davis, who had the chain of custody with her, and ask very pointed questions regarding those concerns. There was no type of cross-examination in that regard. The defendant could have introduced this defense, and he didn't because there's no support for that defense to begin with.
Counsel?
Yes, sir.
Defense counsel just argued that they wanted to but were cut off, as I understood his argument, cut off, it was ruled out by the district court. Is that correct?
Your Honor, I'm not aware of that. What I am aware of is the specific language of the objection that was raised at the time of Charity Davis's testimony. And the question was, what exams were conducted on the evidence that you have in front of you? That was the United States question to Charity Davis. And Mr. Foster said, objection, Your Honor, foundation, competency, authentication. May I voir dire the witness? The court said, no, those items are covered in the prior examination. And ladies and gentlemen, for your reference, the objection that was made was to the question of whether or not this witness is qualified and competent to testify about the matters that were within the subject of the question, and took it to be an objection on foundation.
Thank you.
That is, Your Honor, on supplemental SCR 271 and 272. It is not the government's obligation in regard to this to anticipate every possible defense that the defendant might come up with and call a witness to tamp it down. Certainly the defendant could have called the FBI agent himself if that was going to be a defense worth supporting. In conclusion, I end where I began. This is not a Confrontation Clause case. The United States has established the fact and point that we establish with our obligations under Melendez and Solero regarding the chain of custody. And finally, it is important to note that the DNA testimony that was offered helped the defense more so than the United States in this instance, and any error that might have been happened in admitting it was harmless.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And
thank you.
Go ahead, we're giving you a minute extra time for rebuttal. If you want it, you don't have to use it.
Absolutely, Your Honor. Thank you. this is what the judge said after defense counsel made two very poignant objections in this case. Number one was to the lack of foundation for the chain of custody from point A to point B. But counsel also brought up the confrontation clause issue and specifically objected. And then the court on page 176 of the jury trial transcript said this: I will not let you nor Miss Lord, co-counsel who's here today, argue to this jury based upon matters that are not established by way of fact in the record. In other words, I won't let you argue that the evidence was tampered with because you don't have any justification or factual basis for doing that. Well, there is no justification or factual basis to do that unless we're given the proper opportunity to cross-examine Agent Noble and elicit from him. I mean, this type of evidence.
Why didn't you just call Noble?
It's not my client's obligation to bring in government witnesses that are helpful for the prosecution in order to establish chain of custody for them.
You told me at the outset that chain of custody was not an element of the charge here, right?
No, it's a purely.
I mean, they take the risk. I mean, all this really goes to is the weight that the jury's going to give to this evidence. That's all it really amounts to. How much weight?
No, I think that's incorrect because
there's a preliminary. There may be a preliminary foundation to show relevancy, and that it's generally reliable. They brought in the one officer who bagged the stuff, and then they brought in the agent from D.C. I don't know why they have to bring in everybody. They take the risk.
Well, with this, they have to. They're using testimonial evidence. I mean, it's testimonial. There's no other reason for chain of custody than for it to be for them to establish for the truth.
All right, you're over.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Thank both counsel for their excellent arguments. The case of United States versus Young shall be submitted.